Welcome to the King's Chapel Alaska podcast. From wherever you are listening, we are so excited that you tuned in today. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word.
Exodus chapter 12. Man, do I have a word. Exodus chapter 12, so excited about it. Exodus 12, we're going to start in verse 1 and stand up unless you're in your car and you don't want to. You stand up on the inside. Stand up wherever you are if you're at home. Come on, stand up. You got all your babies, your children around you. Don't just watch it like you're watching Star Wars or something. It's much more exciting than that. And, you know, you want to stand up and interact, all right? So Exodus chapter 12, reading from the New International Version, and I think we'll read about 13 verses of scripture here. This is the story of the Passover. Here we go. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor. Having taken into account the number of people that you are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat, because some people eat more than others." Verse 5. The animals you choose must be a year old males without defect. You may take from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. That's right now. Then you are to take some of the blood and put it on the side and tops of the door frames of your houses where they eat the lamb. That same night, they're to eat the meat roasted over a fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over fire with the head and the legs and the internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some of it is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. That's a prophetic act. Eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague. Let me say that again. No destructive plague, let me read that one more time, just you weren't listening. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. And I'll read verse 14. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come to you to celebrate it as a festival of the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your power and for your word. A lamp unto our feet, a light upon our path. I pray that you would release living understanding to each and every one of us tonight. And those that will listen at a later date. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and you might want to take some notes here. Passover is the first feast for Israel, but I'd like to say that I believe that we should celebrate it also as believers. Now, when I say celebrate, I mean honor, not like worship it and have to like stop everything and put real blood on your doorpost. It's a prophetic act. It's a prophetic act of what was fulfilled in Christ, of what was fulfilled in Christ. I want you to go to Luke chapter 22, and I just read from the NIV, and I'll be reading from the NIV for the duration of this message. Luke 22, Jesus comes and he has what's called the Last Supper. And you've seen Leonardo da Vinci's painting of that. The Last Supper is a famous painting, of course, and a famous time where they had the Passover meal. That's what that was all about. They went and they gathered everything that they needed. The disciples came together and they had that probably in John Mark's house, and they they sit and they gather and they're going to eat this meal. It's the Pesach meal. It's the Passover meal. And he took bread, verse 19 of Luke 22, and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body given to you. So what he's doing is he's literally having the Passover meal, but he's saying that this bread doesn't just, it's not just bread. It represents me. It represents my body. And as you know, Jesus was called by John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And when you look in Scripture and you go from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you'll see consistently in the Old Testament, the sacrificial system, as we were talking about, they would take a lamb. And it was a part of an act of worship. And the blood was for the atoning of their sin. That blood was sacred. You were never supposed to eat the blood. You weren't allowed to. It was unlawful. And even in the New Testament, the apostles made a law that you should not eat blood. That's why blood sausage is no good. And that's why all the Filipinos are weeping right now, wherever they are, and all the Hawaiians and all the blood sausage eaters. You actually shouldn't eat it biblically. And so we say, I thought that the sheet came down and it's all good. It's all good except the blood. That's true. So I guess you can have bat, Pastor Karen. You can have some bat soup, I suppose. I just wouldn't get it from a wet market if I were you. All right. So what's profound to me is this bread. He gives them the bread. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you. Very significant declarations. Very significant prophetic declarations, which is amazing. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Jesus said this, do not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish, but to fulfill them. So very simply, it's important to understand that what he was doing at the Pesach meal, the Last Supper, what he was doing was a prophetic act. And what he did then following that was the ultimate fulfillment of Passover. Was the ultimate fulfillment of Passover. What are you talking about? Let me just tell you that when Jesus was crucified, do you know when he was crucified? We're going to celebrate it on Friday. But he was crucified on the night that they would kill the lambs at evening. That's when Jesus was crucified. When they were slaughtering the lambs, he was slaughtered outside. That you can go and read it and study it. It is absolutely amazing and astounding to me because he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. All other lambs prior to were types and shadows, as Hebrews says. The book of Hebrews says that they're types and shadows pointing to a greater reality. The greater reality is not the Passover of Egypt, but what the Passover of Egypt points to. Jesus Christ crucified for your sin and mine, that there's another destroyer. There's a death angel for sure. His name is Satan. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when you have the blood of Jesus over the doorposts and lintels of your heart, then the death angel will pass over. You must be born again. You must receive Jesus. You must have his blood. There is no other way to have remission, forgiveness, atonement of your sin. You must have the blood, not of a lamb in the natural, but the supernatural Lamb of God that's slain before the beginnings of the foundations of the world. You've got to receive him. You've got to repent of your sin. My, my, my. Amazing. There's amazing parallels throughout this now. Amazing parallels. You're to take a male lamb without blemish. That's verse 5. And Jesus, the Christ, is called the Lamb without sin. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3, take a lamb of the first month of the 10th day. It is said that Jesus was at the temple at the first month of the 10th day. That's all recorded in history. In verse 6 of the text we read, a lamb was killed on the 14th day of the month. Jesus is crucified near the 14th day of the month. I mean, that's kind of amazing. That's amazing to me. Wow, he's the Lamb of God. He was killed the lamb is to be killed in the evening. Verse 6, Christ was crucified and slain between 3 and 6 p.m. The blood was placed in three places on the door. The doorpost and the lintel, which is at the very top. And there's three crosses on Golgotha. Three crosses on Golgotha. Another way to see that, the two doorposts and the lintels actually make a cross. Amazing. The blood will protect you from the destroyer. Verse 13, Christ's blood defeats Satan's power. And it's to be remembered from generation to generation. Verse 14, Christ's sufferings are to be remembered from generation to generation. Amazing. One of the things that we see in the text we read is that you're to eat the whole lamb. You're to eat the whole lamb. And that to me is a picture of not just believing on Jesus that he's your Lord and Savior. Well, let me should emphasize that. Not just that he's your Savior, but he's actually your Lord. You see, Jesus said to his disciples, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you'll have no part in me. Many people receive Jesus with crocodile tears, or maybe they're real sorrowful tears, but then they live half-hearted. They go to church, you know, they're not going now. They're all stuck at home mostly. Every church is doing what I'm doing right now over radios and streaming. But they don't live for God during the week. I will tell you that God is calling us to eat the whole lamb. Eat the whole lamb. I just have that phrase going over and over in my heart. In 2002, a friend of ours, a friend of this house, someone who's been preaching to us since we got saved, his name is Ivan Tate. Ivan Tate came to our church in Maui in 2002, and he preached a message. Now, we weren't there, but I got to hear it by tape. I was in our first extension on the island of Molokai, and we were leading there, and I heard the message, eat the whole lamb. And I thought, man, that's profound. I woke up yesterday and this morning with that phrase running through my heart, eat the whole lamb, eat the whole lamb. I see many people who believe on the Lord Jesus, but they don't make him the Lord of their life. So they don't tithe, they don't pray, they don't read the word. They don't really have a viable, abiding relationship with the Lord. You were like, I want to have that. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you do. Make a decision to eat the whole lamb. Let him permeate your mind. Renew your mind. Don't stay in the same place. Don't be like you were last week or last year. Get more on fire for God. Get in his word. Start the Bible reading plan. I love that Bible reading plan, and I enjoy all the posts that are up there. Very profound passages and well-written things that people put up in those Bible reading plan. We use a plan out of YouVersion, and you can go on, get whatever version you want to, but read it, eat it, eat the word, eat the whole word, and make it a part of who you are. Learn the word, meditate on the word, think the word. Come on, God spoke to Joshua and say, meditate on the word day and night, and you'll be prosperous wherever you go. The blessing of God will come upon your life if you learn to eat the whole lamb. Let God, just every decision should be based on the word. Your economic decisions should be based on the word. Your political decision should be based upon the word, not whether you registered a Democrat or registered a Republican or you're not registered at all. Your political decisions should be based upon what the word says. What the word says. We'll say, well, not everybody obeys the word, and there's a few things here and a few things there. I count on that which is most important to the Lord as I see it. The sanctity of life. Abortion's a big deal. So plain and simple. I could just draw a line. So if you have somebody that's a complete jerk and immoral maybe and seemingly an idolater, but they're going to stand against abortion, and the other person is same, idolater, immoral, we can't see any Christians in the midst, but they're for abortion, simple. I vote for the person that is not that's not an abortionist. Amen. I vote for the life of a baby. That's what I do. That as a Christian, I have to. You'll stand before God for your choices that you make. We have an election coming up. You know, we'll stand before God for how you vote. It's not red and yellow, black and white, Democrat, Republican. It's the issues. So you, as a Christian, you'll stand before God for how you voted. So that's important. When you eat the whole lamb, it'll affect your economics. It'll affect your political choices. It'll affect you sociologically. If you want to look at culture, if you want to look at nations and how nations go, look at SPEC, socially, politically, economically, and culturally. SPEC, think about that, SPEC, socially, politically, economically, culturally. You look at how all of those different modes are in that particular nation, and you can determine the outcome of whether they're going to continue to exist or not. Because if you start violating the principles of God like we have, then the land itself will vomit us out, as it says in Leviticus, sexual immorality, all kinds of stuff. When you eat the whole lamb, it means that you begin to live for him in an ever-increasing way. That's sanctification. In an ever-increasing way, not only economically, you learn to be a tither, you learn to be a giver, you learn to walk supernaturally. You learn that he's your source, not the government, not anything else. Economically, politically, you make political choices and you vote and maybe even run. Some of you need to run for office. And get involved in the process and give of your time and your talent. And praise God for the United States of America. And then socially, listen, the people you bond with, those are the ones that are discipling you. Whoever's bonding with your children, those are the people that are discipling your kids. Okay, so who's bonding with your children? I don't know. I don't want to be controlling. Well, you better have some control over your kids. Is there, otherwise, you're going to have a prison ministry. Let's have a praise break. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't want a prison ministry of my own children. I love prison ministry. Praise the Lord. But it's not going to be my own kids. Hallelujah. Because you learn to teach. You have to teach them. You have to train them. We didn't know how to do that. I've talked to you about that over and over and over and over. We had to learn how to be parents. And we're still learning. Isn't that right? We're parents of young adults now. And thank God our kids love the Lord. That's not by accident. That's on purpose. He's like, well, you're so lucky that your kids love God. No, we're not. We applied those principles, and we went through hellfire at times to make sure that we're standing in a place where all our children love the Lord. Because the enemy loves to kill, steal, and destroy. He'd love to put someone in your kid's life that they bond with, and they're half-hearted. Oh, they might look like a Christian, but underneath there's all kinds of serpents. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they do things behind the scenes, and they don't ever be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Listen, if you marry an unbeliever, you're a fool. If you think you can convert them, what you get, ma'am, when you're courting with him, that's the best you're going to get of him, unless he's born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad the Lord changed me. I was dumb as a box of rocks. I don't know why you married me, praise God. It's because I was so handsome with it. you got to marry somebody that loves God more than you. That way they're able to be crucified. When the difficult times come, they go to God. They don't you know, abuse you and turn and go into adultery. And it's an ongoing walk. I'm talking about eating the whole lamb. I'm talking about a lamb for every household. You got to be born again. You got to get saved. And you got to learn to live the principles of God's word in your life if you want the full blessing. You've got to eat his, drink his blood and eat his flesh. It's a picture of letting him literally become one with the Lord, that he lives on the inside of you and you don't grieve him and you walk with him and you talk with him in the cool of the day. My. Serving God, becoming a Christian will cause the death angel to pass over your house when you die. But it's not just when you die. It's the blessing of God. Now, right now, there's covenant protection that believers have. You said, well, I see some believers don't have it. That's probably true. Well, how come that is? I don't know. I just know what the scripture says. And I've been talking at the ETS time at 12:30, been talking about appropriating the blessings of God. And the blessings of God, you have to be appropriated. There's positional blessings and appropriated blessings. And I've shared this before with you, but positional blessings are because my children are in my house. I guarantee you they're never thinking about when the mortgage is due. They don't think about whether we have money for food. They don't think about, you know, if there's gas in the tank, or when they do have to think about it, then it's like, Dad, cash at me so I can put gas in the tank. Bang. Mom, cash at me. I need to, boom. They don't even think about it. It's just like sometimes you feel like an ATM machine. That's right. Because I'm El Shaddad. That's right. They're blessed because they're in my house. Now they're beginning to appropriate the blessings of God. What does that mean? My daughter started a little artistic business doing, what's it called? She's editing photographs, and there's people beginning to buy those. There's a little business that she started. I didn't start it. I got nothing to do with it. She's the one that learned the program. She's got these relationships, and she put it out there, and she's moving forward. That's a blessing that's coming through her that I've got nothing to do with. And watch that begin to explode. More and more things will happen for her and for Daniel and for you if you learn to appropriate the blessings. We're victors, not victims. We're victors, not victims. You don't have to wait for COVID-19 to come to your house. It ain't coming. And I'm not participating in a financial collapse either. And I want to tell you, because you believe that way, because I believe that way, our church has not skipped one beat financially. Strong, super strong all of these weeks. This thing is getting flattened today by the blood of the Lamb. I prophesy that as Passover takes place, even now, COVID-19 decreases, disappears, and goes away. And I pray over my entire church, every person that you put under my care, as I lead as an under-shepherd under you, the great shepherd. Not one person in this house will get sick of this thing. It disappears, dissipates, goes away. The curve is flattened. The power of God is released right now. Come on, shout and say amen. Beep your horn and clap unto God with a voice of triumph. Hey! Hallelujah! God's on the throne. The devil's been defeated. Learn to appropriate the blood. Learn to appropriate the blessing. Don't just ride and hope it doesn't come your way. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand in faith. Take steps of faith. Decree it. Proclaim it. Eat the whole lamb. Say it. Eat the whole lamb. Say it again. Whole. Say it out loud so your neighbor can hear you. Eat the whole lamb. Put your hands together for Jesus all across this place. Hallelujah. Woo! La 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 la. Okay. Take your Bibles and turn. I want to show you something and we'll close with this tonight. Man, I'm fired up. It's passed over. Say it. Death is passed over. Say it. Death has passed over. O-V-E-R. Worship team, please. Take your Bibles. Turn to Acts. From day to day, it will never lose its power. Acts 19. We're going to do something a little bit different. A number of days ago, verse 11, we'll read it in a moment. A number of days ago, I had the great privilege of being with Bob Rogers in his television program through the medium of Skype, and was interviewed and was talking about the Lord, talking about COVID-19 and what's going on in Alaska, and our drive-in church and drive-through prayer. And he was talking about how he put a red cross out in the front of his yard. He said, you know, I'm just putting that out there because the blood of Jesus is over my house. And I thought, man, I want to do that. And I thought, but the ground is frozen. We live in Alaska. You'd have to get something to break up the ground, to drill through the ice, to put a cross in the ground. And I started thinking about the blood and Passover on the way. Palm Sunday, last Sunday, and tonight, Passover. And he was in the tomb 3 days, and then he got up. Jesus, our Passover lamb. And in Exodus 12, this Passover, he gave them very detailed actions that they were to take. And in doing that, a plague that was like designed to only kill the firstborn of those who did not have the blood on their homes, of the doorposts, those who did not believe. You know, there's some Hebrews that got killed that night that didn't participate in the lamb, the sacrificial lamb and the blood on the door. They said, oh, come on. What's the big deal? Yeah, they lost their firstborn. I bet there were believers after that. The Lord is separating the sheep from the goats even now. You know, that half-hearted Christianity ain't going to ever get it. It never satisfies. It never brings the full blessings of God. You never see the kind of power and demonstration that's available for us who are believers. Well, you'll see sovereign acts of God because he's just good. But there's a place where the burden and the yoke will break. There's a place of freedom and deliverance divine. There's a place of miracles,
for you and for me because of what Jesus has done. This could be the end. This could be the last year. This could be it. He could come back. Where would you be? Where would you be? Well, let's read this. Acts 19, verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. Wow. So here's the understanding. The Apostle Paul, writing the church of Rome, said, I long to come to you to impart to you the impartation. The power of God can be imparted, and it's transferable. Please listen to me. And I've preached whole sermons on it. You don't want to get weird, right, about this. But they took aprons. They took cloths from the Apostle Paul. Some say there were tallits that he was making. And they would take those. They'd put them on people, and they'd get healed. Extraordinary miracles. You'll see, when the woman with the issue of blood came and pressed through the crowd, she had spent all that she had over 12 years and only grew worse. She had nothing to lose. She went into the crowd, and basically if she was caught with this condition, then she would have been killed. But she pressed in and she said to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. When she touched the hem of his garment, her faith, her confident assurance in her heart, believing that if she could touch the hem of his garment, she'd be healed. When she touched the hem of his garment, even though people were all around Jesus, Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? Who touched me? And they're like, what are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. No, no, there's a different touch, a touch of faith where impartation and power is released. A number of years ago, there was a group that was nearby the church and a couple people that were working here at that place. It was a group home. And the Lord spoke to me and told me to tell people to bring all kinds of bread, and that we were going to anoint it and lay hands on it. And then you go and make sandwiches for your stubborn husband or wife. You do whatever you want with those sandwiches and believe God that when people eat it, they're just going to have a more of an openness to the Spirit of God. Would you know what happened? Here's what happened. This lady brought two loaves of Wonder Bread. Do you remember this? Brought two loaves of Wonder Bread. And she said, I'm going to make sandwiches for every one of those rascals. And she made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with that bread. And she served it up to every one of those kids. Do you know what happened? All of those kids within a very short period of time. Minister Mikey, you remember this? All of those kids from a very short period of time came here and they all got saved. They all prayed a prayer, believed on Jesus, and God touched their lives. And from time to time, we see them cycle back through here. This is 10 years ago. We see them come back through and say, I was here. Tonight, I have had a team of people. Put together these scarlet thread. They put together the scarlet thread, and geez, maybe I should hang it on my neck for all of those reasons. Anyway, the life of the Spirit of the law of Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I'm gonna pray for these things right now, and then I've got Pastor Kirsten, you're going to come and get them here in just a second. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to believe right now that, sweetheart, would you open up that oil right there? I'm anointed with oil. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to believe that God's going to use these for miracles. Now, listen, it's just a prophetic sign. Hang it over your door, just like they put the blood on the doorposts of their heart, doorposts of their homes. Just as a declaration that this is a Psalm 91 house, the blood of Jesus, I'm abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. No COVID-19 coming to my house. I'm blessed. And you just hang this outside as a prophetic declaration. I believe that all who come, that it'll even be a great witnessing tool. Your mailman, the whole people have done it. And there's all kinds of pictures on the internet already. Make it go viral. Take pictures of your thread of this scarlet thread. The scarlet thread comes from Jericho. And Rahab, who was a prostitute, the spies said, put this thread outside your window. And when we see it, if that thread's out there, all that are in your house, where do you think they got that idea from? You think they just came up with it? It comes from the Passover. And there's a scarlet thread throughout Scripture. And true, it's got to happen on the inside, but it's a prophetic act. Just like they were to tuck in their tunics and tighten their belts and put their shoes on. You know why? Because soon they were going to be leaving. It was a prophetic act. Do you know right now I heard this, that many Jews are actually isolated in their homes for the first time since right here. They had to go inside at night, shut the door, and don't come out until morning. And that destruction, that plague laid waste to all those who didn't have the blood on the door. The blood's on the doorposts, on the lintels of my heart, my family. How about yours? Come on. Eat the whole lamb. Eat the whole lamb, one for your whole. Make sure you make sure your kids are saved right now. You spent time. They're not going to school. Have Bible time, Bible study time. Read the word. Read a psalm. Pray. And I know when you start praying, it can be like, oh, I don't want to sound all eloquent like Pastor Karen. Just sound like you. Just talk to God. Some of you know how to run your mouth real good. Just turn it up towards the Lord with respect and tell him all of your challenges and your problems and come before him in the name of Jesus. Thank him. Worship him. You could be dead. You're not. If you're hearing me right now, you might be spiritually dead. You got to be born again. Pastor Kirsten, would you come and take these? If you want one of these, you can just begin to drive through and get one of those. And you know what else we're going to do? We're gonna put a, here. Let me grease them. Hold on 1 second, Pastor Kirsten. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We bless them. We set them apart. We dedicate them. God, may they're a picture of your blood. And I pray that all who walk underneath it or may even touch it would be healed in Jesus' name, just like you did in Acts 19. For the glory of God, let miracles, signs, and wonders be released by the power of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Supernatural, unusual miracles. Extraordinary miracles in the name of Jesus. What was I saying? I lost track. It's a good word. Lift your hands to heaven all across. Oh, I know what I was saying. You can still lift your hands if you want to. I know what I'm saying. We're going to stick a nail out in the front of the church, and we're going to hang those things on there. All right? So if you're not here tonight, you're not in the parking lot, you can drive by and pick one up yourself. You can drive one by, take one for your neighbor if you want to. But just remember, you can hang as many red strings on your house. You could paint your house red. You can put, you can wear a cross around your neck. You could wear a red string around your neck. None of that's going to help you. What's going to help you is eating the whole lamb. What's going to help you is being born again. If you're not born again, won't you do it tonight? Won't you bow the knee? Won't you humble yourself before him and invite him to be your Lord? Invite him to be your Savior. Repent of your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You say, that's me, Pastor. Thank you for your honesty. Pray this with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die in my place, to rise again from the grave for me. Come into my heart and forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your blood that cleanses all my sin away. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, you can partner with us and give at kcalaska.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and enjoy more messages like this one.